Hello and welcome to Comic Obscura, episode 2. Still don't have an opening line worked out yet, but, you know, we'll get there. So, this episode, like I said, at the end of the pilot episode, is going to be a two-character episode. I was actually going to call this episode Terrible Twofer, just because the two characters I'm talking about, and they're not terrible characters necessarily, but even then, I wouldn't say they're terrible. They're just kind of weird and outlandish. But we're going to look at a DC character and a Marvel character. So the DC character is Bwana Beast. First time I saw this guy, again, was in the Justice League Unlimited animated series, and I didn't know really anything about this character. Like, he was in that episode, like, really briefly, and I saw this guy and I was just like, what the heck is this guy's deal? Just, it was so weird. And then the other character is from Marvel, and it's a character that I've actually read about, like, in a comic, and it's Madcap. The most recent appearance he had that I'm aware of was in a story arc for Deadpool. This is back when Marvel had launched their all new, all different, or whatever run of comics, where everyone, a lot of characters got reset back to issue one. And it was during the period where Deadpool had his own mercenary group, Deadpool and the Mercs for Money. Madcap was the main villain for that story run, or at least that first story run, because I think they're still doing the Mercs for Money series. But anyway, we're going to kick things off with Bwana Beast from DC, created by Bob Henney and Mike Sikowski, first appearing in DC Showcase number 66 back in 1967. So Michael Peyton Maxwell graduated college and decided to become a ranger in Africa with his college roommate Rupert Kenboya instead of joining his millionaire father in the family business. Right off the bat, just seems like, okay, so I was talking about how weird his costume is. Like, his backstory is just ridiculous. I mean, good on Max for, you know, trying to do something different and not just, you know, jumping on that pile of money that his father had. But I mean, come on. Like, really? Like, you're gonna go to college and then, like, go to Africa to be a, like, a forest ranger instead of, like, joining your family business? I mean, even then, you don't even have to join your family business, but, like, I mean, it just seems like there's so many options. How is this the thing you wanted to do? Like, it seems like such a comic book contrivance to just be like, look, this guy is a jungle superhero. Like, why make him rich is my question, I guess. It's like, well, look, if you wanted to make this character a jungle-themed superhero, it's like, why make him rich? Like, it would be more, I guess it's the play off of his selflessness, I guess. It's like, well, you know, he was rich, but he chose not to take the money. Which, like I said, it's admirable, but it just seems, like, kind of ridiculous. But anyway, so on his way to Africa with his roommate, their plane crashes, like, of course it does, and they wreck on the top of Mount Kilimanjaro, and the two survive. I don't know about the pilot, and they end up hiding out in a cave. Apparently, Max drinks rainwater that's been flowing into the cave and mixing with the minerals of the cave, which apparently gave him superpowers. I don't know what was in those minerals, but the water that he drank that mixed with the minerals made him bigger and stronger. And this happened just in time for him to subdue a big red mutant ape that was also living in the cave. And when Max beats this ape, it recognizes him as its master and goes, like, farther into the cave and brings him this helmet that it's been keeping that allows Max to read the ape's mind and control other animals mentally. And so, of course, because, you know, comics, he decides that, you know what, the best thing for me to do is to stay and protect Africa as Bwana Beast. Now, I have no idea if that actually means anything, like the name, like Bwana, or like where that name came from, but that's what he went with, so, you know, it is what it is. So let's, I guess the next thing to do is to talk about that costume. It's pretty bonkers. The helmet that he wears is, I guess, bullet-shaped, and red, and then he's got like yellow pointed glasses, which I don't know if they're actually glasses. They may be like part of the helmet, but they look like, it looks like a red bullet shaped helmet with yellow glasses over it that have like they're yellow cheetah spotted glasses, no shirt, and then like a red and white striped loincloth, red boots with a same yellow cheetah spotted trim around him at the top. And that's it. That's the costume. Which I guess makes sense with a jungle themed character. I mean, like, you wouldn't go hopping around Africa wearing, you know, tights and like leather or anything like that. I mean, you'd freaking sweat to death. I mean, I feel like there could have been something else. And then it seems, I mean, I guess not odd, but wasn't his friend who was actually from Africa, at least I'm assuming he is from his last name, why didn't he become Bawana Beast? Like, he was in that cave too. Like, wasn't he drinking some of that superhero flavored water that was flowing in that cave? But I don't, like, I'm kind of curious, like, what happened with that for Bawana Beast. So the helmet lets him communicate with the mutant red ape that was living in the cave, but it also lets him basically merge animals together to form like chimeras, and he can merge up to 4 different animals together, and when they mix together, like, I guess this is automatic, his powers will mix them together, taking the best aspects of all the animals that he's merging to form one new animal, and he can always undo it, like, it's not permanent. So when I read this, I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. But then almost immediately I thought, well, but then what about the animals? So, like, imagine you're a cheetah and a wildebeest, and you're just minding your own business, you know, hunting, eating grass, whatever, and some dude in a bucket helmet comes up and fuses you, like, you're a cheetah, and he fuses you with a wildebeest, and, like, I just imagine, like, you know, what kind of asshole does that to an animal? Like, what do they experience when they're fused together? It's like, he says he's there to protect them, but imagine the nightmare of just being like, just like a safari animal, mind your own business, and suddenly being merged into some kind of screaming hell beast with some other animal. So this is kind of ridiculous, but like, imagine a toucan suddenly being merged to an elephant. Like, imagine that poor toucan just being part of some elephant. Like, do their minds merge? I mean, I know animals aren't on the same intellectual, you know, standing as humans, but like, I imagine that's gotta mess them up. They can't be used to that. And then, like, suddenly going back to being a toucan, you probably would need a cigarette or something. Like, heavy drinking would follow. His powers in that respect seem kind of messed up. On the outside, it's like, whoa, cool, you fuse a hawk with a rabbit and a cheetah, so it's like a flying cheetah. But then those animals have got to be in that body just like screaming their hearts out, like, oh god, what's happening to me? Oh my god, why do I have wings? Why do I have these extra limbs? Like, what's going on? So I thought that was, you know, add that to the pile of weirdness for this character. And then the only other thing is, I guess more recently he had a brief appearance in the CW show Legends of Tomorrow, where he was a performer at some circus they came across. Other than that, comic book wise, I don't really know. I'm pretty sure he hasn't had an appearance in like years, 10 years or more. I mean, I'm probably wrong, like, I could be wrong, but no one I know has ever brought up, hey, you've been reading any Bawana Beast lately? So that's kind of the cap on that character for now. Moving on, speaking of caps, we're going to talk about Marvel's character Madcap. His story is kind of tragic, but like Bawana Beast, his costume is also pretty ridiculous. Created by Mark Gruenwald and Paul Neary, this guy actually, like, I talked about how he was a Deadpool villain, but his first appearance was actually in Captain America issue 307 back in 1985. So during a trip with family in his church community to a picnic, an unknown, like, even now, I don't think they've ever revealed what his actual name is, but an unknown man traveling with his family in church to a picnic on a bus collides with a tanker from AIM, which is a villainous organization in Marvel, which stands for the Advanced Idea Mechanics, a tanker of theirs containing a compound. Their bus collides with the tanker, killing everyone on board except the unnamed man, who survives and finds out that when he comes to, he finds out that everyone on the bus died except for him, which includes his parents and his sister. Finding out this information, he kind of snaps and loses his grip on reality. And it seems like he was a pretty rational guy, like, you know, normal everyday guy. But after finding out his family and everyone else has died, he kind of snaps and tries to commit suicide. And he does this by leaving the hospital and walking into traffic. And he gets hit by a car, then instantly starts to heal. He finds out that the compound gave him a healing factor on par with Deadpool's, to the point where he can grow back an entire body from that. And almost as if adding insult to injury, he finds, instead of being like, whoa, I have superpowers, he takes it as kind of a cruel joke, where it's like, you know, everybody I care about is dead, and now I can't die. So the irony is kind of messed up. So he takes it a step further by getting like a horrible costume. We'll get to the costume for him later. Like, we'll get to that. But he gets a costume and he grabs a soap bubble pistol and starts running around Manhattan, just spouting nonsense and absurd philosophy, calling himself Madcap. Now, I know what you're thinking. It's like, well, okay, he has a healing factor, but, you know, and a soap bubble gun, it's like, that's not really dangerous. But the danger actually comes from his other power, where he's causing riots and mass violence. He has a power where if he looks into your eyes, he can induce madness. And the thing about this power is, he has to look you in the eyes, but once he does, it lasts for like 15 to 30 minutes, or it'll last longer and possibly become permanent if he holds eye contact long enough. And the whole point of the costume, like, he picked this really bright, garish looking clown costume, and the whole purpose of that was to draw attention to himself so more people would look in his direction, and made it easier for him to make eye contact with more people, which was actually kind of clever if you think about it. If you saw a dude, and once I describe his costume, you'll kind of get it, but if you saw a dude like this running around the streets just like spouting nonsense, you would at least look in his direction. I'm not saying you would walk directly up to him and like look into his face. You would definitely turn your head and pay attention to what was going on. And the thing about his madness powers are, they affect people in different ways. So some people might become lucid, like they're on a drug trip or something, and others might go insane and start acting violent. Some might start, you know, hurting themselves. Like, so it varies from person to person. With him running around Manhattan just causing mass hysteria, Cap shows up. But at this point in Captain America, he was using his other identity, Nomad, you know, the lame, crappy one who didn't have a shield. It was just like this horrible blue costume with a cape for some reason. It's like, why would you suddenly need a cape? I mean, is it compensating for a shield you don't have anymore or what? But I don't know. So Nomad shows up. I mean, it's still Steve Rogers, but he shows up and defeats Madcap, and that's kind of the end of it for a long time. But he showed up again in an issue of Power Pack, which was like this kid superhero team. I forget his name. Reed Richards' son was a member, at least at the time. I think he still is, or he would be if he still existed in the current main Marvel universe. But I think at one point he was. I don't remember his son's name for some reason. Like, I know it, but like, it kind of slipped my mind. But anyway, so he was in an issue of that, and then the next time he pops up that I'm aware of, I mean, I'm sure he had other appearances, but the bigger reappearance was in Deadpool and the Mercs for Money. But then later again, he shows up just before the Secret Invasion big Marvel event that lasted for like a year, a half a year or a year. I don't remember how long it was, but during an encounter with Deadpool, both of them are struck by Thor's hammer. Well, the lightning from Thor's hammer, and they're both reduced to ashes. Now, Deadpool fully regenerates, but we don't see Madcap. But it turns out that one of Madcap's, I guess, ashes regenerated within Deadpool. And so Madcap became one of the voices in Deadpool's head. And if you go back to that kind of era in the Deadpool comics, you'll notice that before this happened, it used to be Deadpool and then a voice in his head. And then suddenly after this happened, so it would be Deadpool, and then like you would get a thought box that was white. Now there's a yellow thought box. Like, for a while, there was no explanation for why there was suddenly another voice. Madcap was the new voice in Deadpool's head. And then later, Madcap, at some point, I don't remember when it was, but at some point later, Madcap eventually manages to regenerate himself outside of Deadpool's body. I think it was during, there was an incident where I think Deadpool lost a limb, and that could be any time. Like, he loses limbs all the time. But instead of reattaching the limb, he leaves it. And I think Madcap regenerates from that limb. And so once he's regenerated fully during the all new Marvel run of Deadpool and the Mercs for Money, Madcap returns as a villain, posing as one of Deadpool's mercs. He eventually starts going around pretending to be Deadpool, killing people and causing trouble. They eventually have their confrontation, and supposedly, you know, Deadpool thinks he's defeated Madcap, but then he shows up again in another encounter. And so to close this off, Deadpool makes a deal with the Collector, and he basically sells Madcap off to the Collector to be rid of him for good. And Madcap's whole deal, like, he apparently, when he was part of Deadpool, he could feel pain. Like, one of the benefits of Madcap's version of the healing factor power is that he stopped feeling pain. Like, if you chopped off his arm, he wouldn't feel it, and then the arm would grow back. But when he was a part of Deadpool, he did feel pain again. And I guess being trapped in Deadpool's mind kind of, like, took a toll on him. So he was out kind of for, like, revenge on Deadpool. Like, he was out to try to ruin his life. And when Deadpool sold him off to the Collector, he told Deadpool he wasn't going to try to escape because his intentions were to ruin Deadpool's life. But from what he could tell, Deadpool basically did that himself. So he's like, fine, I'll go with the Collector. Like, your life is crap anyway. So that was basically, I think that was the last encounter anyone's had with Madcap. So I think currently he's a prisoner of the Collector in his museum out in space. So now let's get to the costume. So this one's going to be kind of, I feel like this one was going to be tricky to describe. Granted, for any of these guys, you could always just, you know, hit pause and then give it a goog and Google it and, you know, see for yourself. But, you know, I'm going to try my best to verbally describe this costume. So he basically has like a big purple hat. It looks like one of those Outback hats where the brim is like one side of the brim is bent up, I guess, if that makes sense. And then he has like a yellow mask with, if you've ever seen DC's character Mr. Miracle, his mask is like a full face mask, and it has like an opening for his mouth. The mask just has a slit, so when he talks you can like see his actual mouth move, where it's just, except it's just like a full face yellow mask with like a slit for his mouth, which is usually set in like a big huge grin. So, and then he's got like a purple cape, the same color as the hat. The top half of the costume, the shirt, is half yellow with a purple glove, and then the other half is black and purple pinstripe with a yellow glove on that side. And then the pants and boots are basically the same but reverse. So the opposite half on the pants are yellow with a purple boot. And then the opposite half on then the other half is, you know, black and purple pinstripe with a yellow boot. So I'm curious if any listeners are out there are artists. I'm curious to see what you, like, based on my description, what you are imagining as far as what these characters look like. Because I'm kind of curious to see if my verbal descriptions are accurate enough where you could be like, okay, based on what you're saying, I drew this, and it turned out to be accurate to what the character actually looks like. So let's get to the next segment, Boot or Reboot. Let's go ahead and start with Bwana Beast. I figured, like, when I talked about him, most of you would probably assume that he would probably get a boot. But actually, I would give Bwana Beast a reboot. Him being a jungle-themed superhero, it seems very niche and weird. Like, you wouldn't be able to get a whole lot of mileage out of that. But I think if you tried to bring him back in the comics, I wouldn't necessarily give him a solo run. I think a miniseries might do. And if anything, like for him, I would probably do like a short miniseries, like a 6-issue story arc. What I would do is probably team him up with someone. It would probably be Swamp Thing, because that seems to make more sense just with the whole nature aspect of it. And I think the dynamic would be interesting, especially given Bwana Beast's powers. So like, let's say there's some bad guys operating in Swamp Thing swamp. I mean, like this is kind of a stretch, but you could have it where someone's trying to rebuild the Injustice League and they're building another hideout in a swamp, like the old one. And so Swamp Thing is like, well, not my swamp. And in building this thing, you know, they're disturbing the habitat, they're disturbing the animals. So Bwana Beast shows up too, because he's like, well, I gotta protect the animals. I mean, I know it's not Africa, it's not, you know, the savannah, but, you know, later on, I think he does return to America. So you could just be like, well, he's back in America. It's his civilian job is preservation related or something. And so the two of them are trying to investigate who's moving into the swamp, trying to, you know, rebuild a new hideout for a new Injustice League. And I think the dynamic between Swamp Thing and Bwana Beast would be interesting in that Bwana Beast's ability to merge animals, I think, would be disturbing to Swamp Thing, where he's like, what are you doing? He's like, well, you know, I just fuse these animals together so they can help us fight. And he's like, but then I think Swamp Thing would be the one to raise the question that I had of, yeah, but what do you think that does to these animals? Like, that could mentally scar these animals for life, having you just like randomly force them into some hideous fusion. And I think that could be like a kind of an ongoing discussion between the two of them throughout this storyline. And I think in some way it should be revealed that, you know, maybe that the animals, when they unfuse, have no memory of being fused. Like, it's just kind of like to them it seems like their individual minds are like frozen in time while they're fused. Like, I think there should be some explanation as to what happens mentally to these animals. I think that would be interesting. And then, of course, like, whoever the villain turns out to be, it shouldn't be anyone too big, just someone interesting. Because the main point of this miniseries is just to kind of reinstate Bwana Beast as far as, like, you know, saying that he still exists. Like, you know, he's still a character, he's still around doing things. He's just not as active, I guess. And it should play out kind of just like a short, fun little mini arc. I think it's just another way to show that there's other things, other characters active in the DC universe besides the Justice League. Like, you know, besides the big, you know, besides the DC Trinity or the other characters around them. You know, there's other smaller characters still being superheroes out there, just in like little pocket areas of the universe. And I think this would be like a good story to help kind of remind people of that. I mean, not that, I'm sure like most DC fans haven't forgotten, but it's just like, you know, it doesn't feel like DC is really embracing that anymore. And they're really staying focused on the characters that they've been pushing for their movies, which, you know, it makes sense from a business standpoint, but like, comic book wise, you know, the comic books aren't the movies. And I feel like that was a strong part of of DC's universe, in that they had top tier characters, but then they also would, you know, do stories on their lesser known characters and just kind of be like, oh, you know, they're smaller, but they're still part of our universe. Another team up you can do, because let's face it, I like I said, I don't think Bwana Beast would really thrive too much in a comic series by himself. So I think if you gave him a series or a couple of mini series, I think he should always be teamed up with someone else in the DC universe. So I think the Swamp Thing mini series, like him teaming up with Swamp Thing, could be a fun main series. And then you could also put him into someone else's series, putting him in a team up with the Super Sons, the son of Batman, Damian Wayne, and the son of Clark Kent, John Kent. I think that would be a good team up, because the way I kind of imagine it is, you know, they're also tracking a criminal who's like operating out of like a wooded area or a forest or something. And so Bwana Beast is there again on some kind of preservation assignment. assignment or something. And I feel like once he decides to don his Bwana Beast outfit and he encounters the Super Sons, I feel like Clark's son, John, would be slightly endeared with him. Because I feel like John is, so far, he seems like the kind of character that really embraces just the nature of superheroes, where it's like some are more ridiculous than others, but he just seems really excited about the whole notion of being a hero and kind of following in his father's footsteps. So I think he wouldn't be as abrasive as Damian would, where he'd be like, well, this guy's kind of goofy, and I don't really see how much help he would be to us. But, you know, if he's supposedly been a hero for a while, it's like, why not let him tag along? Like, he seems to know about what's going on more than we do, so let's team up. Where I feel that Damian would hate him instantly. I mean, he hates everyone almost instantly. But I feel like the whole time this team-up was going down, Damian would be trying to get rid of him or injure him in a way where he couldn't continue to tag along. And I think there would be a really fun dynamic between the three of them, where I feel like John and Bwana Beast would be more teaming up, whereas Damian would be kind of trying to ditch the both of them. Even though he showed up with John, I feel like he would then try to ditch the both of them and be like, you know what, I'll just do this myself. And I think what would be funny is if Damian tries to go it alone, but he turns, like, it seems like he's unsuccessful in tracking down the villain they're after or kind of piecing together what's going on, whereas John and Bwana Beast are off kind of like on this offshoot adventure. Like, they're still after the same guy, but they're it turns out like they're somehow more successful and they're somehow having fun with it. I just think there'd be kind of a fun story arc there with those three characters. And I think what would turn Damian around is like when they finally confront the villain of the story, I think that's when Bwana Beast should finally use his chimera power. Is I'm not sure if that's what it's actually called, but, you know, his ability to fuse animals. I think in that final battle, he should fuse like this really cool chimera together, and that's when Damien's like, whoa, like this, that's actually really impressive. Like, that's when Damian gets impressed by this guy, and, you know, they beat the bad guy, save the day, and Damian, in his own kind of smug, reluctant way, kind of gives Bwana Beast, you know, an acknowledgement. Like, nothing too big, but just kind of in that kind of smug, like, okay, I'll admit you pulled something off. And it's like, John's like, that's about as good of a compliment you're ever going to get. And, you know, everyone parts ways, and that's that. I think that would be pretty cool. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing Bwana Beast teamed up with, you know, someone in the DC universe. And I think teaming them up with either the Super Sons or someone like Swamp Thing would be a pretty good way to not necessarily bring him back fully, but just to be like, hey, he still exists, he's still around. Now for Madcap, this one I feel like I'm kind of surprised. It's another one where I'm kind of surprised they haven't brought him back. Now, I mean, he's clearly been around a few times and even kind of recently, but I would have almost thought someone would have kept it going, just because I guess maybe because he's kind of similar to Deadpool, they didn't really want to overuse him. But given how things ended up for him in the comics most recently, I would have felt like there's a lot more potential to be had with this character. Like, so for instance, my idea for Madcap was, one, you could bring him into the movie. I probably wouldn't push this one as much, just because so far in comic book movies, at least from, well, in Marvel's comic book movies, a lot of the origin movies kind of would have the hero up against an evil version of themselves. And I think, like, I am kind of tired of seeing that. And I feel like general audiences across the board are kind of tired of that. So I can see why you wouldn't want to, you might not be in a rush to put him in a movie. But with Deadpool, we're two movies in, I feel like you could bring in a character like Madcap to be a villain without it, you know, being like, oh no, another hero versus a reflection of himself thing. Because I mean, like, they didn't do that in the first Deadpool movie or the second. So I think the third movie, it would be okay to do that. The reason I think he would make a good villain for the movie version is that even though his powers are similar, I think you could kind of, I think the way you use him in the movie as a villain is the key to bringing him in. With him having similar powers to Deadpool, but with the ability to induce madness, I think you could have him basically keep his origin story, and you could basically use him as an extreme example of what could happen to a normal person who isn't, you know, engrossed in the superhero world. Like, he's just a regular person who's like, superheroes exist, they're super villains and all that stuff. Captain America, Thor are all, and X-Men are, and mutants are running around this universe, but he doesn't want any part of that. You know, he's happy. He's the kind of person who's just happy existing normally, going on picnics with his family and church community and stuff like that. Like, he's not interested in that whole superhero stuff. Like, he just wants a normal, regular life. He wants a life that makes sense, that doesn't have all this weird cosmic stuff going on. And I think Madcap could be played off as a tragic villain, and that, especially if you keep his original story, and then there's an accident involving a super villain organization and some dangerous chemical, and, you know, everyone dies. He wants to die but can't because he has superpowers now, and so he is forcefully pulled in to this world that he never wanted to be a part of. And really, he just, with the loss of all these, you know, all of his loved ones, he wanted to die, but ironically he can't die now. And so it's like, well, he's kind of lost and he doesn't know what to do. He's kind of losing his grip on reality. And I think for the movie's purposes, you could have whatever organization made the chemical, like if you want to still use AIM or make it Hydra or whoever, make up a new one. I mean, there's plenty of evil organizations in the Marvel Universe to pull from. Heck, you can even say it was an offshoot of the Weapon X program or something. But anyway, you can have someone from that organization show up and find Madcap. Because again, for the movie's sake, I would give him a name. Like, just, you know, it'd be weird that, I mean, you could, all right, so you could play it as a joke where in the movie they never mention his actual name. Like, even his last name. And, like, when, during the scene where he's on the bus with his family and stuff, like, you could have him talk, you know, obviously he would call his mom, and his dad, and his sister, whatever her name was. So I think she actually did get named in the comic, but that's kind of a running joke, like, never actually say his first name. Like, either, like, when at the hospital, when a nurse or a doctor comes in, just before they try to say his name, something happens that interrupts them. Like, that could be a running gag or something, but or you could just give him a name. But anyway, so someone from the organization responsible for the chemical that gave him his power shows up, and they see how kind of lost and confused he is, and they use that and kind of manipulate him into taking down Deadpool, who you could say, for the movie's sake, killed one of their operatives in the past or something like that, or he's become like a kind of a pain in their side, and they're like, they want him taken out. Or you could also say Deadpool's not even involved in this yet, and this organization's like, well, this guy can't be killed, and if we can amplify his madness powers, we can send the city into hysteria and then you know demand a ransom. So like, that's what the bad guys are planning, and this guy kind of doesn't want any part of that. But they're like, well, if you do this for us, we can find a way to kill you, or if you do this, it'll draw in superheroes, and surely one of them will be able to kill you. So that's where Madcap kind of is like, okay, I guess I'm on board for this. And he's like, since I'm not actually killing anyone, he's like, okay, I'm just making them go a little crazy, and if anything, superheroes will show up to stop me. And in the battle, maybe, hopefully one of them will be able to kill me. Like, I'll just keep pushing them far enough to where they have to do it, or, you know, my madness spell won't wear off. That's one way you can approach it as far as making him a villain. So it's like, we're kind of sympathetic to him as far as, like, you know, how he got into the situation. And then what'll make him, like, a full-on villain or not is his decision in the end to either help stop the organization that caused this, or if he just goes full madness and it's like, you know, this is it for me, I'm lost anyway, I'll just go all in supervillain. Another way you could do it for the movie is, I guess you could have Madcap already exist, like he already has his powers, and you could establish, like what you could do is establish through some kind of flashback or something that him and Deadpool had a previous history, but now that Madcap has similar powers, he's out to ruin Deadpool's name. Like basically it's the storyline from the Deadpool and the Mercs for Money storyline that he was in. And I guess that could include X-Force, where they're helping Deadpool trying to stop this guy, but then because of Madcap's madness powers, Deadpool has to fight Madcap and the X-Force, but he has to fight them without killing them. So that could be a, you know, a big way to bring in some action into the movie and kind of, you know, change it up and get to see Deadpool and X-Force use their powers and stuff to fight, because they're under, you know, they're driven mad, so they're attacking anyone. And so, you know, Deadpool has to be like, well, man, I gotta stop my team without hopefully without killing them. And so I think that would be a good kind of dilemma to put in the movie. That's kind of like my movie idea as far as bringing Madcap into a live action scenario. Comic wise though, I think there's still something you could do with that. I mean, so supposedly the last time we encounter Madcap, he's been sold off by Deadpool to the Collector, so he's out in space. I'm kind of surprised no one's gone back there. It's like, you could have a scenario where someone, because there's so many cosmic beings out there, someone's after an artifact that the Collector has, so they stage a heist, and in the ensuing heist, the capsule or chamber or whatever thing that Madcap is locked in gets broken, and so he's free and he escapes. And he steals a spaceship, but since he's never been in space, he doesn't know where he's going or what he's doing. And eventually, he's just adrift. Like, his ship runs out of fuel, and he's drifting through space. He doesn't know how long he's been out there, or like even where he is in respect to any planet or anything. And he can't kill himself, because he'll just heal from it. So he's just going crazier and crazier, like out there alone. And I know this sounds crazy, but stay with me here. I think it would be cool if, I have more than one idea for this, but I think one idea is that would be cool is if Madcap encountered Galactus. Now, I don't know what Galactus has been up to in recent continuity, but I'm pretty sure he's alive. I'm pretty sure he still exists. I think it would be cool if Galactus is like in the middle of devouring a planet and he sees this ship and he detects a life form on it and he pulls Madcap out and he's talking to him and Madcap is like gone nuts. He's like, what's the point of anything? Like, I have no purpose. I'm just like, I want to die, but I can't. And Galactus is kind of amused by this. He's like, you know, and kind of like that omnipotent, like, eternal being kind of way where it's like, oh, you tiny beings and your issues. It's like, if you want a purpose, how about I make you my new herald and I send you out to find me planets? It's like, and I think by making him a herald, it's interesting because, like, I don't know if, I wouldn't say give him a surfboard like Silver Surfer, because each herald is different, but I think whatever the redesign is, it should still kind of play off of his current costume, but, you know, be more cosmic, I guess. I'm not really sure how I would redesign him as a herald, but I think his madness powers should be amplified to the point where he doesn't have to look people in the eye. Although, I mean, I guess that is a pretty good like handicap on it, so it's not too overpowered. But I mean, we're talking about infusing Madcap with, you know, the power cosmic, then it's like, well, hey, all bets are off anyway. So yeah, I think his madness inducing powers shouldn't be limited anymore to eye contact. And I guess he can kind of like, it should be more of a, not a bubble, but like he should be able to kind of emanate it. Like, it should be more of like a radiation. So like wherever he goes, once he activates it, it just kind of like waves just kind of shoot off of him that induce madness in people around him. I mean, part of me wants to be like, well, let's just say he can affect an entire planet, so everyone's too crazy to prepare for Galactus's arrival. It's a bigger scale, and I think that would make more sense too, given having Galactus use him as a herald, it would make more sense that his powers would be able to infect an entire planet. So I'm gonna go with that. The other idea is kind of similar, except, you know, he's still on a spaceship, he's adrift, but I think he should eventually, like the other idea I had is like his spaceship runs out of fuel, he's adrift, but eventually he crash lands on a planet. And I think what would be cool, like, and I think it's not an undiscovered place either. Like, people, you know, they trade with other worlds and stuff like that. And I think what would be cool here is that, you know, they find Madcap, and these, you know, at first this civilization is like, well, you know, he's an alien, but he seems hurt and sad, so, you know, like, let's help him out. Like, it doesn't seem like there's any reason to not help him. It seems like he was adrift for a long time and he was lost, so, you know, let's help him get back on his feet. And then he comes to and recovers, and this place is so similar to Earth that, I don't know, I guess something in him snaps where he's like, oh man, not just, it's like, this is just another version of Earth. I don't want to be here. And so he kind of uses his powers, like he uses his powers to kind of make the people around him go mad, and kind of wanders around and starts digging for information on this place. And he finds out that there's a device that can amplify his powers to the point where he can take over the whole city. So he takes over the city, everyone's mad, and what I think would be cool is if the Guardians of the Galaxy, whatever the current iteration of that team is, are called in to investigate, because everyone who shows up at this planet, like, you know, like I said, this planet trades and interacts with other civilizations from other planets and stuff, and whenever anyone goes to investigate, they end up going mad. So the Guardians of the Galaxy are called in to investigate, and they encounter one civilians, and he's crazy, and they have to subdue him, and they take him back to the ship, which is out of the range of Madcap's powers. And he finally he's like telling him what's going on. He's like, oh, we found this guy. And he's like, somehow he has these powers to make people just go insane. And he found a device of ours that we built that we use for other purposes, but he's using it to amplify his powers. So the whole city's gone mad. And if you set foot in the city, you'll go crazy too. And they're like, well, who is he? And he describes him. And they're like, well, he's not from our world. He's some off-worlder. And so they start instead of just marching into the city, they try to do some research, and eventually they find out about what happened with the collector, and they find out that it's Madcap, and they're like, well, we gotta approach this carefully. So, I haven't worked out this whole thing, but, like, that's just the idea. Like, I don't know how they stop him or anything, but I thought that would be a cool story to bring him back in. And, of course, this would be in a Guardians of the Galaxy storyline. So instead of having him return to Earth and fight Deadpool again, have him, you know, since he's out in space already, have him fight space people like the Guardians of the Galaxy, or have him encounter Galactus and become a new Herald, and that could be, like, his own little mini-series or, like, ongoing story from then on, where he's a Herald and he's helping Galactus eat planets. I don't know. I just feel like there's stuff you can do with him even though he's out in space. Actually, especially since he's out in space now. I feel like you could take that character in kind of a new direction if you wanted. Or heck, even if you have him show up in the Guardians of the Galaxy comic, why not make him a new Guardian of the Galaxy? Give his character a new direction. So it's like, you know, after he escapes the collector, he's adrift, the Guardians find him, and he's all depressed and lonely, has nothing to live for, and just have him kind of become part of the Guardian family, where it's like, well, now I have kind of like this new family, and they're trying to get me back together. And it's like, you know, he's kind of weird and goofy, but I mean, I feel like he could fit in with that team. Well, depending on what the current iteration of that team is, but I'm thinking more of the movie version of the team. So if that's still the version in the comics, I think he could fit in with that version of the team. I think that's about it. Like, I mean, if I really sat down and thought about it, there's probably other scenarios that you could work him into. Same thing with Bwanabees. Like, there's probably other team ups or ways to bring him back that I haven't thought of. That wraps up episode 2.
I'd like to take a quick second to thank Chad Crouch for the opening theme of the show, Game.
I'll see you next time.